Amen. Praise the Lord. His power hath no boundaries, and we can leave it there. Amen. Amen. All right. We will be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse 8, and we'll read on down through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our gentle shepherd, for guiding us and leading us to green pastures. If we follow you and your word, God, we will have no regrets. Thank you, God. Lord, we look to you today, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. I pray for the filling of your Spirit, God, to minister your word this morning. I pray you'd fill my dear wife with your Spirit in relaying the message in sign. And I thank you for the word that has gone forth already in the Sunday school hour, and pray that we would heed that which you've given us by your word, by your Spirit, through your ministers, dear God. And Father, might we be changed more into the image of Christ. Might we be the soldiers that you would call us to be. We know that in relationship, all those born again, every Christian is a child of God, resting in the security of your unfathomable love. And all that you've purchased for us in Christ, we rejoice in that. But Father, because of that, we have the strength through Christ, through your Spirit, through your word, to be valiant for the truth upon this earth. And I pray you'd help us to be that and to be faithful to you, that others might be reached, that we might grow, and those reached would grow in the grace and knowledge of you as well, and reach others is your desire. And so, God, please help us in these things. We do thank you for the missionary offering and giving that you have spoken through the hearts of your people. Father, I pray you'd meet every need and in providing those, and bless those of our missionaries that are ministering even today this very word, God, that we minister here. Father, we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we looked at sleeping, and we saw some health benefits to sleep, and you want to be careful to not to sleep too much, but you also want to be careful to get enough sleep. But last week's message, the title was "Enough with Sleep." And that was because that was talking about spiritual sleep. And the Bible has nothing good to say about that. We saw how it's detrimental to our Christian walk and service. We saw spiritual sleep would turn us to seek vainglory. If we have our eyes off the Lord, we'll put them on something else, and it'll be something temporal, ourselves or other things. We saw that spiritual sleep will leave us veiled in understanding. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about in His death. And He'd spoken about that on the Mount, but they fell asleep and missed the Bible lesson. We saw that spiritual sleep will cause us to vacillate in our confidence. They didn't know, and they feared to ask Him. They feared to even go to Him in prayer. Why? Because they'd been snoozing physically, but a picture of spiritually snoozing. We saw that spiritual sleep will necessitate a viable trial, or a trial that will work spiritual life in us again, and spiritual vitality. It will necessitate a viable trial. They were taken into a cloud and they feared greatly. Wake them up! Exactly what God did. Then we saw point five last week. Spiritual sleep will work to vanquish our impact on Christ. When they came down to the bottom of the mount, some of them couldn't cast out demons. Why? Because that kind cometh forth by what? Not but by fasting and prayer. And they had lacked in that. So today's message is a companion message to last week. We saw the detriments of spiritual sleep. But now we're going to look at how do I go forward then? How do I wake up? How do I awake? What do I do? I see. I don't want those negative things in my Christian life. How can I have these positive things? And we're going to look at that this morning. So title of the message of this morning is Awake! Ephesians chapter 5. Awake! And we certainly want to awake. Our memory verse of the chapter, Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now we need to be careful to understand that he's not talking about awaking to salvation as when one gets saved. He's writing to Christians here. And it, kind of in the same vein, don't be sleeping spiritually. Awake! Christ will give you light and power to live this Christian life. We'll look at that today. And so we see, first of all, number one, if we're going to awake and not sleep, number one, first of all, we must watch with discernment in this life. We must watch with discernment. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And verse 14 goes on to say, For he said, Awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. He'll guide us and also empower us. And verse 15 reads, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So, Christ has given us all this wisdom, this power in His resurrection. His Spirit is in our hearts. We have this Word of God. Now be wise, be circumspect in how we walk. You know, animals are a main thing. I was just looking to see if that scared any over there. Animals are can be an amazing thing. They're an amazing creation. Black bears and bears in general are believed to have one of the greatest senses of smells among animals. You look at the black bear's head, it's obvious that they have a very large nose. And the area inside a black bear's nose, gives the name for it, is 100 times greater than ours. This large nose results in an excellent sense of smell. Even bloodhounds, dogs of famous for their sense of smell that they're used to track missing people, even they don't smell as well as a black bear. I read somewhere that someone estimated the black bear smell was 7 times more powerful than a bloodhound. And that's pretty amazing. One of the reasons for that is there's a part in their nasal passage, and we have a part in our nasal passage called the olfactory bulb. And it, when we smell something, it takes in information regarding that smell, and it transfers it to the brain, and can trigger memories and all kinds of different things, telling you what that smell is, and also trigger memories about that. For instance, if you're at home and all of a sudden there's a breakfast being cooked out there in the kitchen, and there's bacon put in the pan. Now, if your olfactory bulb is working well, you're going to say, "That smells so good." Okay. I remember that BLT sandwich I had, you know, just yesterday, and it begins working in all those things, connecting even those memories. It's how amazing how it works. Talking about this black bear smell, some have said that he could smell something as far as 1 to 2 miles away. And many places where there's a lot of black bear, you're probably, if you're in the woods there, you're probably within the scent of a black bear wherever you go. And it's amazing. We think about the eagle's eye and the sight, that sense of seeing. And they have, they are among those that are referenced as having the greatest sight among some of the creatures. The eagle's eye is the same size and weight as a human eye. And yet the eagle's 10 or 12 pounds. Quite a great difference in comparison there. On either side of the face gives it nearly a panoramic vision. Not quite 360, but not too far from it. They can look and see. An eagle can see a small rabbit running along the ground 3 miles away and go find it, go get it. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. In Job 39:27, the Scripture says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off." Yes, indeed they do. God made a mighty and a vast creation. But I want you to know that when you're born again, you have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you and I have been given a sense that is far better than any animal. Matter of fact, far better than what many people have. I'm going to tell you what that is. Awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. We are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We have been given this sixth sense, and that is faith in the Word of God. We live life, we navigate through life, we make our decisions in life. We got saved, what? Through faith in the Word of God. Faith in what the Scripture says. And with this sixth sense, we see the way in life. By the way, the animals can't see. We don't know that animals can see spiritual things. We know that God appeared to the donkey. There's times that God appears where animals can see them, but we don't suspect that's all the time. And by the way, we, through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, in a sense, we see or understand spiritual things. And what a powerful sense that is. And what Paul is saying is, right, since we have this, let's say, whoa, we ought to be using it, amen? Because we know what's out there that this world can't see. And we have it right here. It's through faith in the Word of God. The Psalm says in Psalm 14:1, "Thou, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." But we know God, and we've been saved, and so we are given this great wisdom. We are not among the foolish. Believers through faith in Christ and the Word of God, we see spiritual realm that animals and even most people cannot see. What does the Bible say? For we what? Walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we live. By faith in this Word. That's how we go forward. I'm going to trust this promise. I'm going to believe God's Word. This trial comes in my life. You know, there had no temptation taken use but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And so I grab a hold by faith. I see that by faith, and I trust in that. I know God is using this somehow to make me, somehow to make you in our trials more like who? Like Jesus Christ. He's using this, what? To make our path through life better for His glory, isn't He? And by the way, If absent from the body for the believer is what? Present with the Lord. What did Peter write? In whom having not seen, ye love. I love somebody I've never seen yet. His name's Jesus. Amen. And I'm sure you do too. I pray you do. We don't see Him, but we see Him with this sixth sense. And oh, how invaluable this sense is. Amazing. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, through that we can see straight through the lies and deception of one of the most, if not the most, deceptive thing on earth, and that would be your own heart and mine. And through this Word, we can go, as Brother Dennis taught this morning, because of this miraculous sense that we've been given, faith in the Word of God, we can discern. We can judge ourselves. We can see what we compare that to the Word of God that speaks to our heart. And the Spirit, what? Reproves and rebukes and exhorts. He does that cutting and encouraging and all that. Without this miracle, that wouldn't be happening. And yet, because we have now this sixth sense, we are to be walking by it and living according to it. For the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing asunder, even soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We can judge our own motives. We can be right with God. And I want you to know there's nothing more important than that. John, kind of summarizing at one point, wrote to the believers, he says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now, he's not saying I'm omniscient. What he's saying is, everything that I need to know about the path in life before me is provided for me right here. And by the way, through God's Spirit, through the enlightening of Christ that He gives as we seek God in His Word, He shows us the way. He helps us to discern the way. And we can know. We can be assured of this Word. That's why John could write in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You see, we have a know-so salvation, amen? And we can know how to walk this Christian life with this great wisdom, this sixth sense that God has given you and I, even greater than the animals, greater than many people. Born again people that are not born again can't read the Scripture and make the applications that you make and I make and understand it and know how to apply it. But Paul says, now, since we have this, let's be looking around, what? Using this sixth sense that we have. Philippians 1:9, Paul writes, "And this I pray, that your love," by the way, that's the things that we do and say. Our love is not just some feeling in our heart. Love is an action. Amen. So when we love, we purpose to say things and do things. Or to refrain from saying things and to refrain from doing some things, depending on what they are. That's love exercised. "And this I pray, that your love," Paul writes in Philippians 1:9, "may abound yet more and more in all knowledge." In all knowledge and in all judgment or discernment. We have this great wisdom in the Word of God that does show us all the way. Everything we need to know right here, and we have the author living inside of us. We have this sixth sense of faith whereby we, like a little child, can read that, understand it, what? And then most importantly, put our faith in it, amen, and grasp it. And claim it for our lives. And that's how God wants us to be walking this Christian life and growing in the grace and knowledge of Him. Knowing this truth, what did Jesus say in John 8:32? "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the truth shall make you free. In 1 Corinthians 2:16? "Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Our eyes have been opened wide up. Oh, this wonderful sense, this miraculous sense that we have. Psalm 119, 18. "Open thou mine eyes, and I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Amen. Ever read and all of a sudden, wow, I never saw that before. Or you read something and all of a sudden the Spirit convicts us of some sin in our life and we didn't realize that until we get that right with God. The psalmist continues, Psalm 119, verse 19. "I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." And by the way, he doesn't if we're seeking him. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 20. "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all time." I want to know your word, God, and I long to apply it to my heart and life. The fear of the Lord, what? Oh, let me go back to Psalm 119, verse 99. The psalmist writes, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." You have some professor that you sat under to get your degree in college, and they've got all those plaques hanging on the wall in their office and such and that. Let me tell you something. If they're not born again, they don't have near the wisdom that you have. They don't have near the wisdom to live this life that you and I have in what God's given us through faith in His Word. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Paul, talking about this new creature, said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." Praise the Lord. When you got saved, when you were lost, you couldn't see things too clearly. I can't see you too clearly right now. But you know what? I think that was Brother Charlie waving. We didn't see things too clearly. But when we got saved, we saw things the first after the flesh. But when we got saved, what? Now we don't look at people after the flesh. Now we look at people through the spiritual glasses that we put on. Amen? Because we know that every person to get to heaven, all they need is the same person that we needed. Amen? All they need is faith in Jesus Christ. They need to take hold of that Word and their eyes will be illuminated, enlightened just like yours were. And just like mine were. And they can begin to turn away from the practice of their sin just like we do. Amen? And draw closer and closer to Him. Amazing. What an amazing God. Watching with discernment. This sixth sense that He has given us. And then secondly, if we're going to awake. This watching with discernment is not only what? It's not only so that we can know. Why do we want to learn? Look at this Scripture. See that you walk circumspectly, looking around, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And why is that? So we can do it. That's why we're supposed to learn what the will of the Lord is, so we can do it. It's not just so that I can tell somebody or share with somebody more theological truths than someone else. It's not just for knowledge puffeth up, but what? Charity edifieth. And charity are works and words flowing from us. Or being retained by us because they're not love. Having that discernment as well. And so we need to work with diligence. Work with diligence. We know that believers are children. And what is our work? Well, we know that believers are children in possession. That is, God has claimed us. We are. One Scripture says, what? Know ye not that ye are not your own, but you're bought with a price? I'm glad I belong to God. If you're a believer, you belong to God. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Praise the Lord. We are His possession. You are all children of God, what? By faith in Christ Jesus. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's what I am. That's what you are. And by the way, if you're learning from this message and understanding this message and you're not a child of God, you can be one too. Amen. By simply receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith in the Word of God. We'll get there. And so we see we're children, but believers, what are we? If we're going to do this work, we're going to have this wisdom that God's given us, this Word. We're going to put it to work. We understand we're children of God, but what do we do? What we do? Well, believers are witnessing soldiers in profession. That's one of the best ways I can think of to describe it as far as covering the whole of what Scripture says about the children of God. That's a relationship. Our works could never change that. We could never make God love us more or love us less by the works that we do. He loves all His children the same. And He loves them for one reason. He loves them for what His Son did for us. And because we received Him. And so we see that. But what does God have for His children to do? What's our responsibility? What do we do with this wisdom that we receive and look how to walk this life? Well, we are to be witnessing soldiers in profession. You shall receive power what? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's it say? And what's it say? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And goes on to say unto the whole world there. Witnesses unto me. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness what? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Time and again we're told that we're soldiers. Time and again we're told that. The weapons of what? Our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. We already talked about that. We look to the world through spiritual eyes. We have spiritual power given to us. One thing great about understanding the Word and promises of God, when we put our faith in them, it not only gives us wisdom, it gives us what? Power to walk in those things. That is a miraculous gift. A bear could smell something miles away, and that's an amazing sense. But you know what? Once he smells it, he doesn't have any more strength to get there. He can't run any faster. He has no more strength in himself to get there. He just knows it's there. But when you and I, with our sixth sense, and the eagle, when he sees the rabbit running away, he doesn't have any more speed. They're fast, but he has no more speed to get there. But guess what we have when we trust the Word? What? We get the power with it. Amen. We claim the power with it. The Spirit is our power to witness. You say, well, that witnessing is a tough thing. Yes, it is. That's why God gave you His Spirit. Amen. His Spirit, that we might be witnesses unto Him, witnessing soldiers in profession. Some things about this Christian life. Hey, this is down where the rubber meets the road. This is down where the rubber meets the road, brethren. We're talking about this wisdom that God's given us. We see it. We know it. It's available to us in here. And now we need to the tires are on the car. They've been all the air pressure's right. And now we need to get the thing out on the road. Amen. And we need to drive it. And we need to live this Christian life. Some things about this Christian life, living it out, this love, the mission of our witness. What is the mission of our witness? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come what? To seek and save that which is lost. That's pretty profound. That's a hard to understand. But hold on to that thought, and look at the next at the next one, John 20:21. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Did you hear that? How did you send him? The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That's for me too. That's for you too. He goes on. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Ghost. Now we know that we receive the Holy Ghost the moment that we're saved at this time. And we receive the power to be that witness. To seek and save that which is lost. And we don't do the same. We'll get there. But we go and seek them in this ministry of our being a witnessing soldier. In Acts 13:38. Well, let me continue. He says, receive the Holy Ghost, John 20:23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You're going to go with a message, that's going to be point C coming up. And when people respond to that, their sins are forgiven. What they've done on earth with that message you give them holds in heaven. There won't be any changes in heaven, brethren. There's not going to be any surprises in heaven among those who know the Word of God about how people got there, okay? God's not changing the plan. It's clear for us. We know. We know, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Somebody trusts in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, who He is, the Son of God. He died for our sins and He rose again. They trust in Him alone. Their sins are remitted. They're taken away. And nothing in heaven or earth is ever going to change that. But on the other hand, if they reject it, nothing in heaven or earth is ever going to change that either. Because this word is what? Eternal. It's eternal. By the way, how important is this vision that we have of eternal things? For the things that are not seen are the things that are seen what? Are temporal. But the things that are not seen what? Are eternal. How much important is this sixth sense that we have? And then exercising those things. The message of our witness. What is that? Well, we're going to see the message of our witness. Mark 8:35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, Jesus says. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Mark, in his letter, he includes the Gospels in there. Some of the others, evangelists, leave it out. But Mark's just adding more information that's true. And I think Mark adds it because Mark is talking, he's presenting Christ as the servant of God. He speaks much of the service of God. There are fewer long discourses in Mark. It's all about what Jesus is doing, getting things done. Immediately he went here. Immediately he went there. And it's talking about his service. And so in our service, I think Mark brings it out because it is important to know what that the spearhead of our service is right there. It is getting this gospel out to the world. And so Jesus said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and what's he put on an equal plane with that, and the gospels, the same shall save it. The same shall save it. All that we do in this Christian life can be put under the head or the spearhead of getting the gospel out to the world. Getting the gospel out to the world. The message, that's the message of our witness. Mark 16:15, as we have right behind me here. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, you can't be any clearer than that. What is the spearhead of Mid Valley Baptist Church that we get the gospel into all the world? That we support missionaries? That we get the gospel out to Corvallis, that we get the gospel out to our neighbors wherever we're at. That is the spearhead of what this church does. And the message of our witness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:23, and this I do, all of his faithful service, all of the sufferings that he bore, and this I do, what's he say? For the gospel's sake. That I might be partaker of with you. Paul realized the main point. He realized the main point. The great part of the Lord's will is spelled out for us right here. You know, verse 17 of the passage here in Ephesians 5, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And spelled out right here. It says, be not drunk with wine, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. By the way, we could stop right there. We'd just be filled with the Spirit. All this would be taken care of. Because he came to give us power to witness and to do what God has called us to do and be. See, the Christian life is a great endeavor. He didn't just send Jesus Christ here so you and I could have a better life while we're here. And then we'll get to go to heaven when we die and not go to hell. No, there's an army here. There's an enemy here. There are lost people out there, and I'm a witness, and you are a witness to them. And we have a saving message to tell them that if we'll but tell them, and they will believe, they'll be transformed just like you and me. They'll become children of God. They'll miss hell and know that their home is heaven. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering to usward, wanting us to do the job, not willing that any should perish, what? But that all should come to repentance. He said, I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for you to reach out to some more. What are you waiting for, Lord? I'm waiting for you to reach out to some more. Do you know that people don't get saved by accident? God has a plan how people get saved. You can find it in Romans chapter 10. It's through the sharing of the Word of God. Amen. By God's people, God's witnesses, God's witnessing soldiers, and then people believing it. The message of our witness. And then all the rest of the Christian life can really go under this heading, the manner of our witness. What kind of a life are we supposed to live? We are to be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, the passage says. And we see in 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God. What is that? Even your sanctification. What is that? That we would abstain from the sins of the world and we would walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. That we'd be more like Christ. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The end of that passage says. You see, a witness who's not credible can fail in the witness. Not necessarily because he didn't tell the truth, but because somebody didn't believe they did because of the person. So holiness is not something apart from the gospel. Holiness is a strength and a foundation from which we are to spread the gospel. Amen? That people can examine us, like as Brother Dennis said, can look at our footprints and our footsteps and see where we've been and believe that when we share it. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We are to separate from sin in our lives. And this in the manner of our witness. He says here in the passage here, verse 15, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does he mean there? With this wisdom that we have, we're supposed to be learning how to walk this path of love where we love God and where we love others. That's going to be in our words and our works. That's going to show forth. What is this redeeming the time because the days are evil? This was interesting as I pondered this and thought on this and looked at the word on this. Redeeming is to buy up or to buy for oneself, for one's use. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. So that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. Buy up the time with zeal, godly living, and well-doing. What's it saying there? You have 24 hours today. And you know what? If the Lord tarries today, you are going to live every one of those 24 hours. There is not one of them that you and I are not going to spend. Not a single one of them. Here's the question. How are they spent? How are they spent? Are there places in our life where those hours could be spent better? Where something that would be more edifying, something that would be more in line with this call to be witnessing soldiers could be put in. When we take that, and I'm not saying that we need vacations, yes, we need a break, yes, we need all that, okay? God is the one who established the three feasts for Israel when they would come every year and they'd spend at least three weeks out of the year just celebrating, okay? We need that. But we have to look at our time and say, in this slot of time, maybe it's some less TV. Maybe it's some less sleep. Maybe it's some less fishing. Maybe it's some less hunting. Maybe it's a little bit less golf. Maybe it's like, did I get everybody's hobbies here? I'm going, whatever our hobbies may be, I'm not picking on anybody. Is there a section where God would say, but in this, you could be doing this? And so we take that time, which we were using at all. It was being used for something. And we maybe get up a little earlier. Or we stay up a little later. And during that time, we spend studying the Word, memorizing some verses that we can use in our witness to others. You know what we have just done? We have redeemed that time by replacing it, that what we were using it, with something more valuable, something eternal. We've redeemed that time. That's the only way we can buy it back, brethren, is by putting the good works and the good deed, and those things that God would have us be doing as His witnesses in those places where we can. Amen. And growing in those things. That's how we redeem the time. I think about Jesus, how He did that. You know, we have very little on Jesus when He was a child. But Luke, probably from the testimony of Mary and such, and of course the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes a little bit about that. We only have one passage. written about Christ after his birth, as a young child. In Luke 2, we'd find that. It says, when he was 12 years old, Luke writes, when Jesus was 12, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When he had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now you remember the story. They looked around for him. They assumed he was there. They didn't check on him themselves. They found out he wasn't there. So they'd gone a day's journey outside of Jerusalem already. He's in the temple. They hadn't checked for him. They'd gone a day's journey. Took them 3 days to get back and find him, as the story goes. And the Bible goes on in Luke 2:48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? What's he say? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? You know what Jesus was doing there? He was redeeming the time. Here's why. He was about to turn 13. He was about to have become what the Jews would call bar mitzvah, a son of the law, a son of the commandments. Bar mitzvah is not a celebration. Bar mitzvah is a point in life and maturity. And what was going to happen was this. When he was 13, Jesus was going to become eligible to read the scriptures publicly in the synagogue. And so what is Jesus doing when he's 12? He's in the temple, asking questions and sharing all that. What was Jesus doing? He was redeeming the time. I'm going to have the opportunity soon to be reading in the temple. I'm going to get ready for it. And that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. And he set that example for you and I. Romans 6 says, in that he died, Christ did. He died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's what we need to be doing. And when we can do that in places in our lives, that's when we're redeeming the time. That's a way. I don't really need to be doing that. I'm going to put that out and put something more glorifying to God. And by the way, this wisdom that we have from God, this not only helps us discern right from wrong, it helps us discern good, better, and best, doesn't it? What would help me most in my Christian life? Help us discern those things. And finally, walking with awake with our eyes wide open. Finally, we need to worship with devotion. Verse 9, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And what does verse 20 say? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God wants first and foremost from you and I. What does he want? He wants a relationship, doesn't he? Why? Because positionally, remember, we're his children. That's our we have a possessed position in a sense. We're his. He claimed us. That never changes. He loves us. It's a relationship. What did Paul write in Philippians 3? I started with 8 there, but 7 says, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. That's all the other religions trying to do that, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that God has opened your eyes to in the Word of God. and by the Spirit of God. Then what's he say? That I may know him. I want to know him. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice and what? I know them. I can count every hair on their head. And Paul says, you saved me, God. I'm yours, but I want to know you. I don't want to miss anything in life, be it a hard trial or a blessing, that the end would cause me to know you more and draw closer to you. It's your relationship. And God calls us to do these things because we're now his children. And he's equipped us with this sixth sense. He's given us the Holy Spirit and this wondrous, glorious light. Look, awake, rise from the dead. He's talking to believers that spiritually, and Christ shall give thee light. Watch. I'll shine the light everywhere you need to go, what you need to do, what you ought to be involved in. I'll show you how to redeem your time, and I'll give you the grace and power by my Holy Spirit to do it. And we reach out with that blessed sixth sense, faith in the promise of the Word of God, then the power comes. Amen. And we believe, and God blesses that faith, and he guides us through this life, that we walk with discernment, that we work with diligence, and that we worship with devotion. We need to love him. I don't think I would go this far, but J. Vernon McGee says God wants us to follow him, and Jesus said, "Love me, keep my commandments." He wants us to do that because we love him, and he says, "And by the way, if you don't love him, forget it." That's what I don't know that I'd go that far. I think doing right. It's kind of like marriage counselors when people have been married for a while, they come in and say, well, you know, I just don't love my wife anymore. I just don't love my husband anymore. And a good Christian counselor say, okay, well then love him. Because love's not a feeling. Love's a commitment. Amen. Love is a resolve. Love says, I will do this. And many times when we follow in that path and we begin to do the things of love, guess what returns? The feeling. The feeling. But the feeling is not the most important thing. We need to follow God. And I believe that'll come. I believe that'll follow. I don't think I would agree with J. Vernon McGee on that. You know, what did Bob Jones Sr. say? Do right until the stars fall. Amen. Do right. So there's been times, brethren, I didn't feel like coming to church. I'll just tell you right now, there's been times. Yeah, but honey, you're the pastor. But you know, I've never regretted it. I've never regretted it. I never came home one of the days and says, man, I knew I shouldn't have gone. That's never happened. That's never happened. And we can count on God's working in our hearts. Amen. What a blessed God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for the power, for the clarity that you have given us through faith in the word. Oh, for the glorious opportunity we have to be, first of all, children of God, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then, God, to have an opportunity not just to go on our way and sit in our place in heaven, but, God, that we might also have an impact on someone else while we're here, that we might go as a witnessing soldier with the gospel to those that are around us and speak the truth in love to them. Because the same gospel that saved us will save anyone who will place their faith in it. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, anyone realizing that they're sinners and destined for hell because of that, the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Anyone who will turn in their hearts from their sin, Paul preached, repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Ones who will be sorry for it that they sinned against God and realize God has provided the one and only sacrifice for sins forever, His blessed Son who's risen again. And in that moment, they turn in their hearts and trust You and call upon Your name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I believe those things that I've just heard from Your Word. And I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask You to forgive me and save me and give me eternal life, because I claim Your promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, if someone would do that, they'd be saved immediately. Their eyes would be open. They too would continue to be able to grow in faith and knowledge of the Lord, our Savior. Thank You for this blessed book. Thank You for the faith that we have to exercise in You and to grow more and more. Thank You for the love of Christ toward us. And I thank You for this church. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for His glory.